This is your Super Tuesday 2 Electric Boogaloo review here on the Solid Monster Sounds Off channel for Tuesday, September 8th, 2020. I am the Solid Monster. Hope everybody had a good Labor Day weekend, or as Tony Schiavone said the other night, Memorial Day weekend. So they made the call last week to open this week's show. I don't know why so many people online were surprised that they were opening tonight's show with a championship match. They were going right to the main event right away because I believe they announced that last week. I didn't think it was some big secret. But I had some people tweeting me and I saw some people mentioning that they were surprised that they were opening with the title match. But this has been known for about a week. But they opened with the championship match. They opted to close with the steel cage match between Rhea Ripley and Mercedes Martinez, this grudge match that's been built up now for several weeks. So a little bit odd that they would do that, but clearly, you know, having now watched the show, we now know the reason that they did that. The reason they did that was because they would be airing these segments throughout the show with Adam Cole, right, going in the back and two-sweeting Finn Balor and shaking his hand. Being all magnanimous, interviewing him later on, doing a total babyface promo. Adam Cole in each of these segments that we saw him in post-match tonight was a total babyface. And that is why they opted to put that match on first, because they wanted to get those segments in there. They did that for a reason. Those segments were done that way to serve a purpose. I thought they started and they ended strong. I thought the opening match was very good. I thought the closing match was pretty good as well. You know, a lot of action in the cage match. And hopefully the blow-off. Short feud, but cage matches, cell matches, they should be used as blow-offs. So I thought it started and it ended strong. It'd be like having a sandwich with a nice brioche bun. You know, you got the top part of the bun, you got the bottom part of the bun. And then in the middle, you get this turkey that's kind of dried out. It's all right. It's not that great. It's got no flavor. It's got no moisture. That was NXT tonight. The bread was the best part. The meat in the middle, not so much. Not very exciting. That's the way I would describe tonight's show. We did not waste any time tonight. We got right into it. Opening match tonight for the vacant NXT Championship. The two men who tied in last week's Iron Man match. Finn Balor, Adam Cole, the longest reigning NXT champion of all time. They kicked things off tonight and had what I thought was a very good match, although nothing so great that it, in my mind, still justified doing a non-finish in a 60-minute match. I'm not happy about that. That was not a great way to end the show. I don't care what anybody says. You want to do Super Tuesday 2? You could have come up with some other hook. So that brought us to Super Tuesday 2. And just to run through some of the highlights here in this match, which I do think it is worth your time. If you missed it, if you didn't watch it, if you're looking for a recommendation, go back and check it out. You know, instead of, it's not 60 minutes, but they went a solid 20 or so. Great pro wrestling match. Balor missed a double stomp, connected on a sling blade. Adam Cole answered back with a Shining Wizard for a near fall. Cole pulled his knee pad down, looking for the last shot. Balor cut him off with a double stomp. There was a spot where Balor flew through the ropes with a drop kick to Adam Cole. And so Adam Cole is now kind of laying over by the timekeeper area. He's like splattered there. Balor is backing up. He's getting ready for the shotgun dropkick. I assume the shotgun dropkick. What do they call it? The John Woo? I see a reference to that sometimes. I always call it the shotgun dropkick. But I've seen references to the John Woo dropkick. Is that like another name for it that I'm not aware of? I just call it the shotgun dropkick. Anyway, he goes for it. But as he's coming in, Cole catches him with a super kick. Both guys are down. They cut to break. I guess they're kind of teasing there might have been a count out. We know, I think it's safe to say we weren't getting a double count out a week after a tie in a 60-minute match. So they get back in the ring, Cole with the Ushiguroshi for a near fall. Balor goes up top, misses the coup de grace. And Cole at that point goes after Balor's leg, puts him in a figure four. And Balor got to the ropes. He was selling the hell out of his leg. He was selling the hell out of his knee. Was Finn Balor. did go up top despite the knee injury, went for another coup de grace. He hit his finisher this time. But there was about 3 or 4 seconds. He was kind of selling the knee, but then he went for the pin. There wasn't a huge delay from the coup de grace connecting to the pin, and Adam Cole kicked out. And the announcers made a big deal about it. Wade Barrett couldn't believe it, as if nobody ever kicks out of it. I do know Kevin Owens kicked out of the move once. Actually, the first time Finn Balor won the NXT Championship over in Japan, Beast in the East. I know Kevin Owens kicked out. Brock Lesnar kicked out of the move of the Royal Rumble in their match. Somebody said Samoa Joe. I don't recall. So it's a move. The point is, it's a move that is largely protected. Not very many people. Two people that I'm aware of before Adam Cole, maybe three, have ever kicked out of this move. And Adam Cole kicked out of the move. So Adam Cole kicks out. And they continue on for a little bit. Cole wrecked him. Cole wrecked him with a super kick a couple of minutes later. And he delivered the last shot. What's good for one is good for the other. So he hits his finish. And what happens? Finn Balor kicks out. So now they've both kicked out of each other's moves. And we've got Cole now, who is going for the Panama Sunrise. He's going to try to finish this guy off. He comes off of the Panama Sunrise. And Balor catches him in position for basically like a DVD, got him on his shoulders, hits a reverse DDT to Cole. They end up fighting to the top rope, and the big highlight of the match was the finish. It was Finn Balor from the top rope hitting a 1916 to Adam Cole, lays him out, and Finn Balor regains the NXT Championship. He wins the title for the second time. He becomes only the third man ever in NXT history to repeat as the NXT champion. He joins Samoa Joe and Shinsuke Nakamura as one of only three men to hold that championship twice. Very good stuff here. Very good stuff here. And if Karrion Kross is not going to be out for an extended period of time, and I would have to think he'll be out for a while, or else what the hell was the point of taking the championship off of him? But if he were going to be back in time for the next TakeOver show, which is about a month away, actually, I think it's about exactly 1 month away as of yesterday, I believe, then you could do that match. You know, Karrion Kross against Finn Balor is a natural match. Finn Balor holding the title, keeping it warm for Karrion Kross. But again, if Kross is going to be back in time for TakeOver next month, I just don't understand what the point of doing this was. I think you could have, you know, you could have gotten away with without having to take the championship off of him. But if he's not going to be back, I still say that it probably makes sense to go with Ciampa. You know, Tommaso Ciampa next, maybe in line for a match with Finn Balor. After the break, we got some clips in the back of Balor in this very narrow hallway, being greeted by Triple H, being greeted and congratulated by William Regal. All of a sudden, Adam Cole comes up from behind Finn, and he gets his attention. He says, hey, good match. Gives him a handshake, and he does the two sweet, and Adam Cole walks off. What a great guy. What a great guy Adam Cole is, right? And all I could think of as I'm watching this is that the move? Is that the response? Is that the action that gets this guy kicked out of Undisputed Era? He's going soft. He's congratulating this guy. Is that the move that gets him kicked out of Undisputed Era? That was the first thing that I thought of when that was over. That and the fact that he was doing, like I said, total babyface promo later on in the show. Total babyface promo later on. He respects Finn. If we ever meet again, you know, the better man won. I'm disappointed, but the better man won. But, you know, if we ever meet again, the result is going to be very different, and that is undisputed. But it was a total babyface promo. Right, there was nothing heelish. He wasn't complaining. He wasn't throwing furniture. He wasn't an angry little elf, as Pat McAfee would say. So they don't have to split him away from Undisputed Era, or if they're going to call him over to Raw, call him over to SmackDown, maybe UE goes with him. Yeah, the thing about it is, like, Roddy, Fish, O'Reilly, They're all kind of in the same boat where if you're going to say like Adam Cole, it's time to move on. He's done everything he can do in NXT. Well, so is the rest of Undisputed Era. What's left for them to do? So if they're all going to get called up or called down, demoted, then why not keep them all together? Even if they all go up as baby faces. I mean, there's a few different ways you can go with this. I don't even know that Adam Cole needs to be kicked out of the group or anything like that. But the bottom line is that all of them, all four of them, it's time to move on. As much as it pains me to say that, because I look at what's been going on with Keith Lee, and I know Keith Lee always been wrestling Randy Orton. He's in a great spot. Maybe he'll be pissed at Drew McIntyre because Drew McIntyre keeps interfering in his matches and he'll go heel. Oh, what a great move that would be. You know, babyface Keith Lee, naturally likable guy, gets called up, they immediately turn him heel. That's not the answer. What the fuck have they been doing with Keith Lee, though, these last few weeks? What the hell did you have Keith Lee beat Randy Orton for at Payback just to do the friggin' match all over again last night on TV and have it end the way that it ended? You factor that, the gear, the music. I mean, believe me, I'm not thrilled about the idea of Adam Cole being called to Raw or called to SmackDown. I don't have high hopes, at least not initially, for what these fucking guys are going to go through if they get called to one of those two shows. The Keith Lee example is not very promising. I'd like to think that in the end, 6 months, a year from now, Keith Lee will be in a better place. Everything will be fine. But I have not been impressed so far. He got the win over Randy Orton. What the fuck was that last night? I don't want to get into a Raw review. It's the reason I don't review Raw live. I got to watch my blood pressure. But anyway, we'll see what the future holds for Adam Cole. What's going on, guys? Thank you for joining me here tonight. I know some people didn't get the notification, but hopefully they'll get the message. Hopefully they'll realize we're live. We don't usually go live on Tuesdays. This will be the last time. NXT is back on Wednesday next week. I believe Dynamite is pushed back to Thursday, so we'll have another double review next week, Wednesday, Thursday. And again, if you want a super chat, the button is down below. We'll take those questions and comments a little bit later on. They'll pop up on your screen if any come in. Robert Stone. In the back, Robert Stone was with Mackenzie Mitchell. He pulls her over and says, "Look, I found Shotzi Blackheart's tank." He found her toy tank. And he was going to destroy it. He had a pipe, I think it was, in his hand, or a bat. He was about to wreck it. Of course, Shotzi then comes walking in, and she starts beating him up. Aaliyah comes from out of nowhere. She attacks Shotzi. And there's a partition with, like, a curtain. And I don't know what Io Shirai was doing. I don't know if she was taking pictures. I don't know what was going on. They go through the partition, and Aaliyah accidentally collides with Io Shirai. And then she sees Io. She realizes what has happened. So Io now is not very happy that Aaliyah bumped into her, and she chases after Aaliyah into the ringside area. Now Aaliyah is all by herself. She's got Io Shirai in the ring with her. She's got Shotzi Blackheart. She's got nowhere to go. Robert Stone comes in. He's trying to save her. Doesn't work. And Io and Shotzi, they beat up Aaliyah. Io hits the moonsault. Shotzi hits the senton. Shotzi goes to hand the NXT championship to Io, but she pulls back and she's laughing. Io doesn't find any of this funny. And she even threatens her and says, "Don't make me hurt you." So they're teasing a championship match at some point. These two are going to have a non-title match on TV next week. So that looks to be the next feud for the title. Tegan Nox. Tegan Nox trying to repair her friendship with Candice LeRae. And so she arrives at the Gargano residence. They're going to try to patch up their differences, whatever they are, whatever those differences might be. Thankfully, the picture of Doc Hendricks is still on the wall. So Doc is still there. And they just interspersed, they inserted these vignettes all throughout the show. So this was a show-long storyline with Tegan Nox and Candice LeRae having dinner at Candice's home, trying to patch up whatever differences they have. Riveting. Riveting television, I must tell you. Film study with Timothy Thatcher. He was showing us some footage of Damian Priest, all of his weaknesses. And these two are going to have a match for the North American title next week. Velveteen Dream against Ashanti the Adonis. I guess the is his nickname. Ashanti the Adonis. I have not seen Ashanti the Adonis before. This was my first time seeing him here in NXT. Dream was trying to be a little too cute for his own good at the beginning here. And Adonis was trash-talking him. That I liked. I did like that. But this was my first time seeing Adonis. I'd like to see more of this guy. I mean, again, this was a squash mostly. He was used in an enhancement role here, but he definitely had some charisma. This guy definitely was showing some charisma here. Referee got distracted, and Dream used a thumb to the eye, hit the Dream Valley driver to win the match. So Dream went to take the microphone. Went to take the microphone, cut a promo, when Kushida attacked him. We have not seen Kushida since the night Dream came back. Remember, Dream made that surprise return in the qualifier for the ladder match. And he beat up Kushida, this violent, vicious assault on Kushida. So Kushida made his comeback here, and he got every bit as violent and vicious with Dream. He pulled him shoulder first into the post 3 times. He put him in an armbar in the ropes. So now we're going to get a match at some point between these two guys. We got a video package hyping up the NXT Tag Team Championship rematch next week. Breezango against Imperium. I think Tyler Breeze called him Emporium. He might have called him Emporium. Io and Shotzi, they made the formal announcement that match is next week. That will not be for the championship. So we're getting 2 championship matches next week. The North American title match, the tag team title match. But they did not mention that Io and Shotzi is for the women's title. So I assume that means that will not be for the championship. Back to the Gargano home. They're all sitting having a very awkward dinner. Gargano says, "This is pretty awkward. Is it me? Should I leave?" So he gets up and he leaves the two ladies alone by themselves as they continue to try to hash things out amongst each other. Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed against Austin Theory. Theory was selling the shit out of Bronson Reed's offense here in this match. He was selling so much it was reminding me of very Shawn Michaels-esque from his match with Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam back in 2005. It was kind of that sort of selling, but you know what? I liked it. I enjoyed it. I was entertained by it. It was over the top a little bit, but again, I thought it was entertaining. But he was bouncing all over the place like a rubber ball for this guy. At one point, Bronson Reed came off the ropes and he pounced him and he went flying. He was outside the ring. Bronson Reed came off the ring apron with a shoulder tackle. He bounced a couple of times on the floor. So Austin Theory was just bouncing around all over the place for him. During the break, Reed missed the charge into the corner, crashed into the bottom turnbuckle, and that allowed Theory to take over. Side suplex by Austin Theory. Sold it, though, like he hurt his back or his ribs. You know, Bronson Reed's a big guy. It's a lot of weight. So he was selling it like maybe he pulled something or maybe he tore something. Yes, as everybody in the chat is saying, Thick Boy. Thick Boy, I forgot. I don't know if they're calling him that anymore, but he used to call himself that, Thick Boy. So Theory got him up. Theory is a strong guy. He is very strong. He is, in some ways, deceptively strong. And he got this guy up on his shoulders, fireman's carry position. He was getting ready to hit him with a big move, but too much weight. His back gave out on him, and Bronson Reed collapsed on top of poor Austin Theory. This was the WrestleMania 29 finish, if you remember, from the match with Mark Henry and Ryback. One guess, by the way, who's winning Dipshit Tweet of the Week this Sunday on the podcast? One guess. Reed hit a standing senton, went up top, hit the big splash off the top for the win. And as he was coming off of the big splash, Theory rolled over onto his stomach. And so Reed just came crashing down across his back. And he pinned him for the win. I thought this was good. I actually enjoyed this. I enjoyed this. It wasn't overly special, but, you know, I enjoyed Austin Theory's bouncing around for the offense of Bronson Reed. And when it was over, I thought that it was a good match. I thought his selling was on point. His selling was on point. Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong against Killian Dane. I did not enjoy this match as much as I did that last one. He was just overpowering Roddy. Took most of the match, did Dane. He was setting up for a move in the corner. I think it might have been a Vader bomb. And Bobby Fish was actually pretty funny. He was outside taunting Killian Dane the whole time. So he reaches in and he pulls Roddy to safety. He's getting involved and everything, and he's got Killian Dane distracted. And when Killian Dane turns around, Roddy hits him with a jumping knee for the win. So Yui sans Adam Cole, who is not there. He did not come out. They're beating up Killian Dane. Roddy's beating him up. Fish is beating him up. I don't know where Kyle O'Reilly was. And out comes Drake Maverick. And Drake Maverick has a baseball bat. He's going after the Undisputed Era, but they chop block him. They take him down. Killian Dane, though, he grabs possession of the bat, chases off Undisputed Era. And now Drake Maverick gets back up and he grabs Killian Dane. He wants to shake his hand. He wants to be friends with this guy. He's just trying to do the right thing. He's trying to befriend this guy. Killian Dane, he looks at him. He considers it. He thinks about it for a little bit. And instead, he levels him. Punches the guy right in the face. What a prick. Obviously, we're going to get the odd couple pairing between these two. They're building to it. I was talking about this a few weeks ago, and then it looked like they weren't going to do it, but clearly they are, so that's what we're going to end up getting. I don't know if it'll be a tag team or they'll just be like a fun pairing on the show, but clearly that's where this is headed to. So now we're back at dinner. We're back at dinner in the Gargano household, and Candace is making a toast to herself being the next NXT Women's Champion. And Tegan takes exception to this, and she says that, why are you going to be the next champion? She goes, well, because, you know, you couldn't beat Io. And Tegan goes, well, you couldn't beat her either. And this offends Candace in her own home. In her own home, she is being insulted. And so she doesn't take very kindly to that. Candace tosses her salad, her salad bowl. At Tegan. Tegan splashes her water in Candace's face. And Johnny sees what's going on here. Johnny comes back in, tries to get between them. And now Johnny is saying, you know, I was right about you all along. He goes, you're a bad person. He's not saying this to his wife. He's saying this to Tegan. You're a bad person. He calls her a piece of garbage. He's like, wow. So he's going off on Tegan. Tegan picks up a bowl of spaghetti. And obviously they bleep it out, but she says to Johnny, fuck you, and she dumps the bowl of spaghetti on his head. As she's going to leave, Candace throws, I think it was a bowl that she threw at Tegan, and Tegan ducked, and the bowl hit the TV. The poor TV, the poor flat-screen TV. Of course, Johnny Gargano was heartbroken by this, now his TV is broken. Tegan made a beeline out of the house. She ran away. Candace ran after, and Johnny, poor Johnny, was left to mourn. He was left to mourn the end of his television. So that was the whole segment. Furthering a story, I suppose. But again, everything in the middle, while I enjoyed Reed and Theory, everything in the middle was completely missable. If you tuned into the show tonight and you watched that opening match, to be honest with you, you really didn't have to watch anything else. But if you watched the opener and then you wanted to go do something else and you came back at 20-10 to watch the cage match, that's all you needed. You didn't miss anything. If you just watched those two matches, that's all you needed. I did like the main event. I thought the main event was good. Not as good as the opener. But I did like the main event. Steel cage match, Rhea Ripley and Mercedes Martinez, who most likely was the woman who cut that promo. We had a retribution promo, a pretty bad retribution promo on Raw last night. And pretty sure that Mercedes Martinez was one of those people. Dijakovic clearly was the male guy cutting the promo. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And looking at one of the other people, you can see the eyes were showing. Mia Yim was under the mask. Are these going to be the people who were revealed in the end? I have no idea, but it was clearly Mia Yim, Dominic Dijakovic. and Mercedes Martinez under some of those masks last night. All NXT talent. What their beef is, what their issue is, remains to be seen. But that's another angle that's just dying a death. Keep dragging it out. People aren't going to give a shit when the big reveal happens unless you got some big surprise up your sleeve. So when she isn't cutting retribution promos, here she is on NXT. Martinez comes down, and Rhea attacks her before she can even get inside the cage. So Mercedes is still making her entrance. She gets attacked from behind by Rhea Ripley. And Martinez had brought a kendo stick to the ring with her. She was tossing chairs into the ring when Rhea attacked her and clobbered her from behind. Rhea puts her in the cage, and then Rhea goes under the ring and pulls out a table, which would play into the finish. Puts the table in the ring, she gets inside, and we're off to the races. Martinez escapes a riptide attempt early by Rhea, hits a fisherman buster before hitting a running power slam to Rhea onto one of the chairs that were laying in the ring, and at that point, Mercedes took control of the match. They go to break, they come back, Martinez hits a released German suplex to Rhea, they're on the top, and she Germans her off the top rope. And Mercedes is just hanging there. She's still up on the ropes. Rhea picks up a chair and just chucks it. She takes this chair and she chucks it up at Mercedes' face, hits her right in the head. Superplex off the top by Ripley. Rhea with the reverse cloverleaf submission. What was the name that she was using? She was using a name. Is it Captain Hook? She used to have a name for it, and then they changed it. Prism Lock. That's what it was. So she put her in the prism lock, and Mercedes is reaching. She's trying to reach for something. She reaches, and she grabs a kendo stick. She starts whacking Rhea in the thigh with it. That breaks the hold. Rhea gets the stick, and she uses it on Robert Stone. Robert Stone is trying to climb inside the cage. So she's whacking him with the stick. She climbs up. She's got a hold of Stone. Mercedes down below gets the stick. She's hitting Rhea in the spine with it a few times. Hits a big neck breaker. Off the top rope. And down goes Rhea Ripley. So Martinez now grabs the table. This is the table that Rhea Ripley had brought into the ring to set up. Mercedes sets the table up. And she's going to attempt to do a fisherman suplex from the top rope and put Rhea through this table. Rhea resists. She blocks it. And instead she hits a riptide through the table for the win. So Rhea Ripley has ended this feud, this very brief feud, but she has ended it. And she was pretty dominant in this feud, not for nothing, if you think. I mean, she powerbombed Mercedes Martinez on the concrete a few weeks ago. And they have the big, what should be the blow-off match, and she wins the blow-off match, which she should have. And I guess I'm just wondering now, what's next for Rhea Ripley? It's kind of the same situation that we find ourselves in now with Adam Cole. What is left for him to do in NXT? Now, you could still have Rhea kind of work her way back into the championship picture and challenge Io Shirai. I feel like it wasn't that long ago we had that match and Rhea lost. And Io now is going to do something with Shotzi Blackheart. So I don't know. I mean, I guess you could just build her back up to an NXT championship match, but it seems beneath her. Rhea Ripley is another one. Really does belong in the women's division on SmackDown, the women's division on Raw. The problem is I have very little faith in this company when it comes to these NXT call-ups or these demotions. They have to change something about everybody who comes up. And, you know, more often than not, they get lost in the shuffle. You know, they kind of get screwed over for a while, or they try to break them down to build them back up. You'll get on those rare occasions somebody who gets called up, gets the big push, and they're a big star right out of the gate. That should be Rhea. Should be Cole, but it should be Rhea. But I have no faith. I have no faith. I have no faith in Vince McMahon to do the right thing by these people when they get called up now to Raw or they get called up to SmackDown. So as much as I sit here and I say, well, what the hell is left for them to do on Wednesday nights? Why the hell would I want them to go to Mondays? So I'm kind of torn. I want to see these people succeed. I think Rhea Ripley will succeed. But I don't know. Am I kind of sending her to her impending doom by wishing that she goes? But, you know, the divisions on those shows could really use a boost. I have no faith. whatever goodwill that I may have had that they may have built up with me, they blew that a long time ago. And that's kind of the problem, I think, now is that if they get called up, what the fuck does the future hold for these people? 2-3 weeks, a month, maybe not even. Look what happened in week one to Keith Lee. He comes out on TV now. Does he feel special at all? No, not really. I just don't want to see the same thing happen to them. But they've exhausted, I think, in the case of Adam Cole and Rhea Ripley, really everything they could do. They've already won the top championship on the brand for their division. And it just feels beneath them at this point. I don't know who else you feud Rhea with if not Io. There is no other appealing matchup right now for Rhea Ripley unless you put her back in the ring with Io Shirai. And the Barf Nuggets, 24. This show to me felt like it was missing something, and that something was Cameron Grimes. Yeah, where's Cameron Grimes? Haven't seen him. I don't think we've seen him since TakeOver. Have we? I don't believe we have. Feels like it's been a little while since we've seen Cameron Grimes. Magician Sapphire with the $10. NXT stars getting called up is like watching slasher film. You know someone is getting butchered at some point. You know, it's sad, but it's true. It's true. It's actually a great analogy because there are people in the slasher movies who do survive, right? And they make it to the sequels, in fact. Not everybody dies. But yes, most people will get hacked up to death. That's exactly what it is. The call-up process from NXT to the main roster is exactly like a slasher film. You hit the nail right on the head. I love that analogy. Sadly, I love that analogy. KC DeMost, I think his is coming in here any second. Great stream, spent the day trying to explain to people that Big E was not buried when he was taken out of the number one contenders match. Waste of time. Well, I spent quite a bit of time this weekend trying to convince people that Matt Riddle was not buried on Friday night. So all the people who were like, Matt Riddle is buried, man. Matt Riddle is buried. It's done. He's finished. You should have seen the messages. And I said on the podcast, these people don't know a fucking thing about pro wrestling. Can't you at this point recognize a burial when you see it? I recognize. I'll know a burial when I see it. I don't even use that word a lot on my show because it's so overused. Again, do I have to get back into this again? Matt Riddle, what happened on Friday night when he basically had the match won but got caught by one move? You're going to call that a burial? Can't afford to bury the guy anyway. Who else do they have? They're going to need baby faces on that brand. Big E did not get buried. Matt Riddle did not get buried. Anybody who says that they did doesn't know what the fuck they're talking about. Don't listen to those people. But I will listen to you guys if you want to vote. At Solomonster in the NXT poll. 73% thumbs up. 27% thumbs down. That's pretty good. That's actually, you know what? I think that's better than I would have expected for this show. You know, for what really was just a two-match show at the beginning and the end, I would have expected a little bit less. So all things considered, that is not a bad score at all. So you can vote right now at Solomonster if you want to know what the score is. Go ahead. Unfortunately, on Twitter, you don't have a view results option. I wish they would add something like that. I don't know why they haven't, but definitely go ahead and vote. And again, if you guys want to send in super chats, I will read them. If you got questions or anything like that, I will be happy to read them off. So what we're going to do here, actually Frost, let me get to him first. Frost 757. Is Raw your public enemy number one? Well, this week it is. All it takes is one good Raw show to win me back. Unfortunately, we haven't gotten too many of those. Raw for every segment or two or maybe three of stuff that I would consider to be good. Like, I thought the end of the show last night was fun, right? Watching Murphy get killed by the entire Mysterio family. I was more entertained by watching the referee constantly feed time cues because clearly they were running low on time. And now you're dealing with people who aren't experienced. I mean, Ray's daughter, his wife, what the fuck do they know about, you know, a television segment? And the referee's going back and forth and trying to feed time. Looking at the time, I'm like, oh, this show's going off the air soon. So the ending, at least, was fun, but the rest of the show was a goddamn waste of time. Jackalope Music, AEW question. What, in your opinion, can be done to prevent another setback in quality like the pay-per-view? Look, you win some, you lose some. You're going to have great pay-per-views. You're going to have pay-per-views that are kind of like, eh, they're just there. The challenge is make people feel like they got their money's worth. Because unlike the network where you can get everything for free or get everything for 10 bucks, you know, paying, you're asking people to pay 40, 50 bucks for a pay-per-view, then they have certain expectations for that show. But you can't, like, every show is not going to be a winner. You know, they had their first show that was not a total winner, and they'll rebound the next time. They'll be fine. If a pattern was to develop where they were putting on crappy shows every 2 or 3 months, then that would be a different story. That would be a big concern. So we are going to take some phone calls here if we have a few. 980.
How you doing, Jason?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I say NXT was pretty decent, right? I thought today's show was quite the stealer. Finally got this champion, and I was kind of thinking about this, right? If NXT UK was all about the pandemic and all that, if it hadn't happened, did you think that he was going to be the one to take down big old Walter from the UK, Germany or something?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I was really looking forward to that match. I mean, I know that was supposed to take place back in April, and it got pushed back, and I don't even know if it's going to happen now. I could see Balor being the one to take the championship from Walter. Yeah, I think that probably would have been the outcome of that match.
Okay, then. I got another question. So, it got me thinking about this, right? So, what would you say was, like, the best years of NXT?
The best years of NXT?
It could be either one or two. It doesn't matter.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I have fond memories. I have fond memories of 2015. 2016 was a great year, especially those matches with American Alpha and FTR. You know, the Revival, sorry. Or even the Revival and DIY. I mean, that goes back probably 2017. So, yeah, I'd say maybe 2015, 2016, probably.
Fair point. For me, I definitely would go along the lines of 2018. I just remember that year being such a fiery year.
Yeah, there were some good years, man. I mean, there were some good years. Right now, we're in this weird situation. You know, you're missing those NXT crowds at those takeover shows. It's not the same. And I don't know. NXT is just, it's still a good show, but it's not what it used to be. And it's in this weird, it just feels different. And I think a lot of that does have to do with the lack of a crowd. I'm hoping that when things begin to get back to normal somewhat, I don't think we're, I'm not so sure we're ever going to go back to normal the way it was with these crowds before. Yeah, but at least getting people back in the buildings, I'm hoping that that will change the vibe a little bit. But yeah, I mean, that was, I would say that's a good choice. 2018 is another good one. I'd throw that out there. Sure. 631.
Hey, Jason, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad. It's been a day, but we're just kicking back now. So I wanted to ask you a question about AEW, specifically about Thunder Rosa and a few other people. To me, it seems like there's been a bit of synergy between AEW and the NWA, not just with Thunder Rosa coming in, but you know, them signing Eddie Kingston, Ricky Starks, etc. My question to you is, do you see anybody else from the NWA potentially coming over to do Dynamite or Dark appearances? Because to me, I'm looking at the NWA roster. I could see someone like Allison Kate coming in. You know, I think that she'd be good to have in the women's division, even if just for a short-term basis. Maybe get someone like Tim Storm over there for an appearance or two, because I'm a personally a fan of his. What do you think? Anybody from the NWA you could see come out over to AEW?
Yeah.
Even if you're just a short-term...
Yeah, I mean, I could see... I would say that I could see someone like a Nick Aldis or somebody like an Eli Drake. James Storm. I don't know if James Storm is officially still with them or not. I think he is. So don't forget about him. I actually did forget about Tim Storm. I missed the Tim Storm segments, actually, and his just white meat babyface promos on NWA Power. But I think Aldis and Eli Drake. Eli Drake has that charisma. I think he would shine and do well, certainly on the mic. They're open to it. Tony Khan said there's nothing set right now, but he's open. You know, the lines of communication with Billy Corgan are open, so it's very possible we could see more talents on TV very soon. Still don't know what's going on with the NWA. Nick Aldis did tweet out earlier that the 10 Pounds of Gold series is returning. I believe that's up now on YouTube, on the NWA YouTube channel. They're beginning to promote the upcoming match between Nick Aldis and Mike Bennett. So if you were a fan of the old 10 Pounds of Gold series, which was very good, they have already started a new one that you can check out on YouTube. 347.
Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
Hi. Hi. I just want to say hi, what's up, to the chat as well. And to you. And, my question is about Finn Balor. So, how likely do you think that, his momentum is going to transfer to the main roster and, go into, even potentially, win the Universal Championship again?
Well, I mean, he's already been on the main roster, so people already know who he is. He was already an established star on there, and a champion even. So he'll do fine. I think he was ready to go back now. They decided to put the belt on him, which is fine. That prolongs his run a few more months. When he loses the championship, though, I think he ought to go back to the main roster because he has now been in NXT for over a year. He has won back the championship, and now he can hold the belt, put over Karrion Kross, let's say, maybe even a Ciampa, but if Kross is not going to be gone for that long, then I think he should be the one to put Kross over and get the belt back on him if they decide to bring Kross back to NXT and they don't fast-track him right to Raw or SmackDown. And when Balor comes back, he's going to do just fine. He's already been there before. It'll be a big return, big pomp and circumstance for his return. He's got a ready-made feud with The Fiend if they want to do something with him and The Fiend, although now The Fiend might be the babyface for a while, so maybe that doesn't work. But I think Balor is going to be just fine. Balor has already been main rosterized, right? You don't have to change anything about him. They've already established him. He doesn't have to worry about his music changing, his look changing. He'll be just fine. I'm not worried about him. It's everybody else I'm worried about, not him. 647.
Hi, this is my name is Matt from Toronto.
Hey, Matt.
I've been listening to your show for a long time, and just wanted to give your thoughts about NXT, I guess, with Adam Cole. Because I think it seems pretty obvious that, that the Undisputed Era is going to break up at some point. And I just had this Adam Cole two-sweeting Finn Balor recently. I thought that a really cool match idea might be if they form, a Bullet Club super team with Finn Balor, Adam Cole, and AJ Styles to take on the Undisputed Era.
Well, I mean, that's
what do you think of that?
Well, that's good fantasy booking. It's just not going to happen, though. I mean, AJ Styles is a heel. AJ Styles really, storyline-wise, wouldn't have any reason that I could think of to want to do that. But he's firmly locked in a heel role right now. And Balor is not, and Cole probably won't be either, it looks like.
Well, I just think that could always change. AJ's been a heel for a while now.
Here's the thing that people don't understand, because I thought it would have been cool 2 years ago to do something with Balor and AJ or kind of put them all with Anderson and Gallows and have one big group with all four guys in it. And I really don't think that Vince McMahon even really necessarily knows about all of these different alliances. I mean, some of the writers do, obviously, but I don't think he gives a shit. So to him, putting Finn Balor together with AJ Styles and reuniting the club or the Bullet Club, to him, who cares? You know, so for them, I feel like they're not going to want to do that because then they're just copying of something from somewhere else. They tried that with the NWO when the NWO came in, and that didn't last longer than a few months. It's rare, I feel like, that WWE does that. I think it's much more likely that they would feud. So you might have AJ Styles against Adam Cole. You might have AJ against Finn Balor. And I'm okay with that. I don't think they all have to be in a group together necessarily.
Well, I don't think like they should actually like form a full-time stable. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking like a match, like just a one-off match. And I guess they at least acknowledge those three as former Bullet Club members.
But what,
I guess, but or at least they, not acknowledged, but like.
Well, I mean, it's understood, but I don't think they would. I mean, they would have to. It would almost be like if you're going to do that, they can maybe have a throwaway line on commentary about, well, these guys have history together, but they're never ever going to acknowledge, like, well, these guys used to be part of a group together, or maybe not together, but they were all part of this infamous fact. They're never going to do that. They're never going to acknowledge it. They have no reason to. Could they have a match together? Like a triple threat at some point? Yeah, if they get them all on the same brand, I just think, you know, they would probably look at it and think it's going to be a kick-ass match. But I brought the faction stuff up because I've gotten that question over the months and years from people as well. Oh, what if you put them all together? You know, Balor and Styles. People have been saying this for 3 years, 4 years. It's not going to happen. A match? Maybe not a triple threat, but I could see singles matches with those guys.
Well, I just think that, like, maybe if around War Games, or maybe not War Games, but like the next takeover following, that if they wanted to do the implosion and, you know, like on TV, it could be like, well, Finn Balor and Adam Cole are getting, you know, outnumbered by these guys and they need a third guy. And around that time, they could, AJ Styles could wrap up his program with Jeff Hardy and he'll need something to do, and they could just do it like a one-off surprise match, kind of like when Kevin Owens did War Games.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's good fantasy booking. I just don't think it's going to happen. I do think it's possible. You bring up a good point. This year would be, well, let's see here. If they do War Games again this year, is this year three or year four of them doing it? I think year three. And so I think in all the other War Games shows, Undisputed Era has, I think, fought together. So if they wanted to, they could drag things out to War Games, and you're right. They could have some kind of big implosion there. Maybe they turn on Cole there. That is possible, and maybe the Too Sweet is sort of a little subtle hint of something that could, I don't know that Balor would be in the same match because he's the champion. But yeah, maybe there could be something there. I mean, again, I feel like some of the people who, when I talk to them about booking ideas, or I come up with some off the wall idea, you know, half the time they're great ideas, but we're kind of talking ourselves, I feel like, into disappointment, because it's not, it usually doesn't play out that way on TV. But yeah, I could definitely see a War Games implosion for the UE. Sure.
That'd be a decent match. And I was thinking that if Undisputed or one of the, adopt one more guy, they could use turn Damian Priest, and maybe he'll start to fit that vibe more because he's starting to do more of a, you know, laid back, you know.
Yeah, I don't see that
partier type kind of guy.
Yeah, that's him doing his own thing. I don't see a connection between those two. But and look, I mean, forget it. You know, I would even say forget about the mystery guy, third guy, fourth guy, whatever. I mean, just UE turning on Cole inside War Games, that could be something. If they wanted to split them up. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll all get called up together. Because let's say they split up. Well, then what? Cole maybe goes to one brand. Maybe you send the other guys to the other. Maybe. Maybe they go their separate ways. They all get called up, but they go to different brands. Maybe that's the way to go. I'll tell you one thing, though. You know, they're having this match on Raw next week. The Raw Tag Team Champions against the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. I was somewhat hopeful that this was the direction they were going in last night, was going to be some kind of unification. I've talked about having floating champions now for a while. These tag team divisions are dead. I mean, dead. Even on NXT, dead. So the best thing they could do with Raw and SmackDown is just unite them, then have one set of champions just like they have with the women. But it doesn't look like they're going in that direction. It looks like they're just They're really worried about football, and they have every reason to be worried about football. That's the only reason they're doing this match next week, is because they're worried about football. I don't think it has anything to do with them trying to bring the belts together, which is too bad, because the tag team divisions right now, it ain't good. It ain't good at all. This happens from time to time. They let the tag team divisions just kind of sag. It's just not a priority. Or they just put a bunch of singles people together, but there's no real division. Why do you need two titles? What does it mean? If you have no division on either brand, you know, make it stronger by just kind of putting them all together. I mean, to me, that would just seem to make more sense. Hey, Naif, Al-Safar, thank you for the 10, man. I appreciate it. I do appreciate the support from all of you super chatters tonight. So again, thank you very much for that. Let me show you guys this poll here. One more time, 73 up, 26 down. I guess we'll see tomorrow night how it compares to the AEW show coming up tomorrow night, which is going to be very interesting because Matt Hardy is going to be talking live on Dynamite tomorrow night. He'll be giving us, I assume, an update on his condition. A lot of controversy involving him coming out of that pay-per-view this past weekend. So he will be on Dynamite tomorrow night. They haven't really announced much else beyond Brody Lee defending the TNT title against Dustin Rhodes. I think we all know how that's going to go. But Dustin, I love that promo Dustin had it at the pay-per-view. That when he won the match and went to the back and Tony Schiavone was interviewing him, that's like a classic old-school Rhodes promo. The promo was great. And the match, maybe the match won't be too bad either. But the outcome is certainly not in doubt. Matthew Martin, thank you for the super chat. Call drop, thank you for taking my call. You are awesome. And you make very good points. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And thank you for calling in again. So we're going to wrap up here. This has been fun. Not really a lot else going on to talk about NXT-wise. NXT is back on Wednesdays next week. AEW, I've heard conflicting things. I've heard that there's an hour-long Dynamite that's going to air next Wednesday when the NBA game is over, plus the full show on Thursday. I've heard that there's no hour-long Dynamite on Wednesday. It's just the full show on Thursday. There will be one stream next Wednesday, and that will be the NXT stream next week. Got a bunch of championship matches. I'll be live next Wednesday, and I'll be live next Thursday when Dynamite is over. If there is a Dynamite of some kind next Wednesday, an abbreviated Dynamite, we'll talk about it the next night. So you got two streams for both shows again coming up next week. You get double the sound off next week, right? That's never a bad thing. And I thought that real quick, before we bail here, there is someone on Twitter, and I think he follows me. I don't know if he's a listener or not, but I want to give him a shout-out. He posted what I thought was a pretty fun tweet, and it's Zinfamous, at Zinfamous on Twitter. Oh, actually, you see his handle right there. At ZinfamousHD is his handle. And this tweet, I mean, you see it on your screen. It's pretty self-explanatory as far as, as far as what it is. This is a GIF. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to click the GIF, and the GIF is going to rotate really fast. There's a whole bunch of wrestlers on there. And the whole point of it is you stop the GIF twice, and each time you stop it, whatever wrestler it lands on, you do it again, and that is your main event of WrestleMania. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. So what the hell? Let's just, before we end the stream, I'll give it a spin, and we'll see what the Solemn Monster picks here for the WrestleMania main event. Now, I'm hoping that this is not going to lag on me here, which is possible that it might. Let me just get rid of this. There we go. So hopefully it won't lag. Otherwise, it's not going to look as good. But let's click this and see what happens. What the hell, right? Let's have a little bit of fun here. So I'll click that. It is lagging. It is lagging, but whatever. There you go. All right, we're going to let this spin for a little bit. Spin, 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 spin. And we land on MJF. How about that? First person we land on is not even a WWE contracted talent. All right, so MJF is in one half of next year's WrestleMania main event. Now, who is he going to wrestle? That's the question. Let's see. Let's see who MJF is going to wrestle at WrestleMania next year. I feel like this is the way WWE books their television shows. This is how they book Monday Night Raw every week. Let's just put everybody in a blender. MJF's opponent is going to be Sheamus. That is an awful WrestleMania main event. That's just terrible. MJF against Sheamus. I could just hear the MJF insults right now about Sheamus's pasty white skin. This is not a WrestleMania main event. But there it is. Now imagine you having to come up with a storyline. What is the storyline for an MJF Sheamus WrestleMania main event? I'd come up with one, but I don't think I could bring myself to care about that as a WrestleMania main event. So I'll try to do better next time. Maybe we'll do this again tomorrow night. We'll end the stream again tomorrow night. We'll do this again, and we'll see what our WrestleMania main event is going to be tomorrow night. But thank you to Zinfamous. I've had some fun with this gift the last few days, and we'll bring it back again. We'll bring it back again tomorrow. I love stuff like that. It's just a lot of fun. Thank you guys for all the support. Appreciate it. Join me, please, tomorrow night, right back here at 10 p.m. for the AEW Dynamite Review. And, of course, episode 669, yes, of The Sound Off coming up this weekend. I will see you live back on YouTube tomorrow night. Take care, guys.